I want to share with you something today that has been on my heart all week long. I don't know how I've missed it for so many years, but I want to share with you the greatest invitation that will ever be given. If you have sometimes felt excluded when other people have been included to certain parties or festivals or celebrations, I want you to know not to worry about it. Because today I want to share with you a personal invitation that comes from God Himself to the greatest event that will ultimately take place. The banquet hasn't happened yet, but God wants everyone to know you are VIP. And all He wants from us is an RSVP saying, I'll be there. Isaiah gets this vision from God, and he gets these words from God. And I want to share just a couple of these words today. It's found in some verses in chapter 55 and 56 in your Bibles. But in chapter 55 and verse 1, it says this, speaking God Himself. Come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, not to worry. Come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. It is a free invitation. Now, it's interesting that later, Jesus says almost the same thing. At the last and the greatest feast of the year, Jesus stands up and says in a loud voice these words, if anyone is thirsty, let them come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, streams of living water will flow from within them. This is the invitation that if your soul is thirsty, if you feel like you've never really understood God or really got a grasp on Jesus, if there's something inside of you that wants more to life than what you've had, God is giving us this invitation to come to Him to be satisfied in our soul and our entire being. You won't be thirsting for meaning anymore. It's this wonderful invitation. Now, later in the Gospel of Luke, and we'll look at this in just a moment, it says in a prophetic voice, people will come to this heavenly banquet from the east and the west and the north and the south, and they will take their places at the feast of the kingdom of God, and they will be escorted VIP to their places. People who never dreamed that they were anything special, that somehow God would invite them to this greatest event that will eventually happen. And it's you. If you believe it. If you're thirsty for it. And I guess one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, has religion dominated our life for so long that our souls aren't even thirsty anymore? Are we just kind of satisfied? But there is a thirst for God that ultimately can be satisfied only through Christ Jesus. This invitation is a personal invitation for each and every one of us. And the emphasis that Jesus has is on the Spirit of God, connecting our spirit with God's Holy Spirit. And if that's confusing, whether you say it's God, Creator, or Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, none of them will be offended. When one speaks, they all speak. And the book of Galatians, the very first book that was written in the New Testament, even though Matthew comes first as far as after, it's the first book. Galatians was the first book written in the entire New Testament. And Paul is writing to Christians who thought that they could live the Christian life without God, without Christ, and without the Holy Spirit. They thought they could do it on their own. In fact, here's what Paul says. After beginning by means of the Holy Spirit, are you now trying to finish your Christian life by yourself? It's a reminder that our souls are thirsty for someone who is bigger than us, the one who created us, the one who knew us before we were born, the one who offers us the invitation. Is your soul thirsty this morning? It's a beautiful description, says, you can't buy this. It's a free gift to you. It's grace before grace was even talked about. This wonderful banquet that's prepared for all of us, and your name is in gold letters. So Isaiah gives us this intro. Then in chapter 55, let's notice something. In chapter 55, beginning in verse 6, there is our part, and then there's God's part. Here's our part. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. A number of years ago, downtown New York City, there was this beautiful cathedral called the Brooklyn Tabernacle. At one time in its glory years, the place was packed, but as time went on and all kinds of things took place, attendance started to dwindle, and they were just about ready to close the doors. And the minister said, you know what? Let's just call this a house of prayer. And let's just open the door. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to invite the people walking up and down on the sidewalks to come in and pray. And some of the elders of that church were a bit frightened because they said, you know who's on the sidewalks? This is the area now that's kind of gone bad. It's drug addicts and prostitutes, and it's not safe to be walking out there. And the minister said, well, aren't they children of God? Aren't they welcome to be part of this? And he just opened the doors. He said, come on in. Just come on in and pray. And we'll just pray together. And it became a house on fire for the Lord. People who knew that they weren't strong enough to handle their addictions, that they weren't strong enough to handle their own life, came into this place where they were never invited before, ever. And they heard this invitation from God to get to know him. And they were so hungry and so thirsty for a new life. They were sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they went into this church and people loved them and they just started to pray. You know what happened is the people who were broken and hurting, and their lives began to change, brought their friends who were broken and hurting, and their lives started to change, and their lives started to change, and they loved to sing, and they started this choir, this Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir that traveled all over the world, and man, do they have a testimony to give, because they were thirsty for something that previously they didn't have. Are you thirsty this morning? It's the invitation of God. Our part is to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near, and he's always around us. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts, but let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. And then notice God's part in verse 8. And this is where you put your own name here. Donnie. And you put your name. My thoughts, they're not your thoughts. Your ways, they're not my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts more than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. And then these words. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I've learned that over the years. Those of us who teach a little bit and maybe preach a little bit and talk about spiritual things, we can never get too big for our britches because we know what God does. It's happened so many times where after a lot of hours preparing some thoughts and sharing and so forth, and you never know if anyone is really going to be changed, but it doesn't matter because God will always do the changing. So many times have I, over the years, had a conversation with people. And they'll say, do you remember on that Sunday when you said, and then they go ahead and repeat what I said, it changed my life forever. And I don't remember ever saying that. I spent hours and hours preparing a sermon, and I know what I prepared, and I don't remember saying that. I guess it just kind of came out. It just came out. No. God called them out. God will always respond to people whose souls are thirsty. Always. The messenger, it doesn't matter. His word always comes back to him because somebody was thirsty. Somebody wanted to respond, RSVP. God, you have invited me. Here's my note in the mail. I'm going to be there. You have invited me. I want to respond. I don't know what the banquet's going to be like, but I want to be there. It's this beautiful invitation that comes. But not only is it for us, it is for all people. Because I know there are people here today who are saying, yeah, but there are a lot of people here who are spiritual people, who are religious people. Not me. You don't know about me. You don't know what my life has been like. This is not me. Please hear this. It is for you. It is for every single person. No matter where you've come from, no matter who you are, this is for you. And even back then, there were people who said, yeah, but I'm not part of the house of Israel. It is for you. Listen to what he says in chapter 56, beginning in verse 3. It says this, let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Have you ever felt that way? No. You are VIP in the eyes of God. You may not have been part of a church your whole life. The invitation is for you individually and the people beside you and the people who will come into your life as the years go by. It is the invitation of those people that were on the streets in New York and saw a church and thought, I'm never worthy to go in there. And they finally opened the doors and said, you are worthy. And it's the invitation that God gives. So he says, and not let, and this is an offensive word today, any eunuch complain that I am only a dry tree. It really is basically a whole bunch of names of people of Israel who were excluded outside the camp if they were ill, if they had some kind of disease, when a festival took place. They were not allowed to be part of it. But God says, oh, you're allowed to be part of it. No matter what's happening, you're allowed to come to this. Verse 4, for this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant. To them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name. I'm just going to skip the rest of this because it's just a repeat of this invitation of God. But you know how long it took for people to grasp this? This is 700 years before the birth of Christ. And then Christ comes into the world, he dies, he's buried, he's raised again, the church begins to start. And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, meaning the Gentiles, meaning the foreigners. And then all of a sudden, people started to pay attention to that. And when the church started welcoming Jew and Gentile, It was amazing. In fact, Paul says this, Ephesians 3 and verse 6, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles, foreigners and so forth, are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. It's so difficult for any of us who at times have felt so poorly about ourselves that there's no way that this amazing, greatest invitation for all would make us feel that we're part of it. And the reality is, we are part of it. It's God calling us to the greatest event that will, in fact, ever take place. And here it is. It's mentioned briefly in the New Testament, and let me share it with you. It's found in Luke chapter 13, and it says this. People will come from the east and the west, and the north and the south, and they will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Luke 13, I think it's around verse 29. People will come from all over. Some of you remember the movie Field of Dreams. Here he is building a baseball field in the middle of a cornfield in the middle of Iowa. For some reason, and at the end of the movie, all you can see is headlights from cars of people who woke up one morning and decided, let's drive to Iowa. And let's look for a baseball field. Does that make any sense at all? But they couldn't help but come. People came from the east and the west and the north and the south. And they're taking their places at the feast of the kingdom of God. Will you respond? Believe with all of your heart, this is for you. No matter where you are in life, it is the invitation to come to the one who knows you better than you'll ever know yourself, who invites you to come to him, that Jesus has given his life for you, to live in you, to help you, to guide you, to respond to Christ Jesus. We don't have time this morning, but also in this book, back in chapter 2, it talks about all of us walking up on the mountain of the Lord. People will come from all nations and stream to the house of the Lord. There will be no more war. It'll be a time of what God always intended the earth to be. Let's pray. Father, today, I pray that you will put this message, this invitation into the heart of every person here. May our own spirit be open to your spirit, that the call would be for each one of us and for everyone, that we are welcome in the kingdom of God, that there is a seat reserved for each one of us, and it can only be filled by us. Help us to respond to this call. Help us to say yes to the Lord. May we come to him just as we are. Give ourselves to the one who will help us along our way so that we can help others along their way. Thank you for considering us as a VIP. May we respond our SVP to say, yes, Lord, I will be part of this. And through Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.